Jetta Camera, 97.5, The Fanatic. Great to be with you here on this Thursday night. Xfinity Studio only from Comcast. Obviously, a lot of conversation today about Sam Bradford. We heard him speak, press conference earlier during Mike's show around 2:30, following up on the new two-year contract that Bradford has signed. And, you know, it's interesting. He's looking forward to being able to audible. I think we're all looking forward to that. Who wouldn't want to look forward to the quarterback, whether it's Bradford or anybody else, being able to audible after the experience of Chip? And, of course, I don't blame Bradford one bit for looking forward to that. We'll see how good he is at it. You know, I mean, it's an important part of pro football. It's an important part of football at almost any level. And obviously, Sam Bradford was hampered last year by Chip Kelly's approach, to say the least. But we'll talk about a lot of stuff tonight at 610-632-0975. You know, the thing about the Bradford press conference today that I think stood out to many is that, he's really not that much of a galvanizing public, figure. He speaks, and it's frankly kind of boring. And I think a lot of people, you know, got that impression listening to Sam Bradford today. Just, it's kind of boring. I mean, it's just, it's not what you'd call inspiring. It's not exactly something that elicits great passion. Callers have pointed that out over the last, 3.5 hours to Mike's show. It's pretty obvious. He's monotone. He's uninspiring. You know, it's just, it's kind of, it is what it is. Does it concern me? Yes, a bit. It does, a bit. You know, we wonder how, a guy at the quarterback position translates to a locker room as a leader when you see the personality that we see and you say to yourself, oh, man, come on, Sam, just lead the room, grab the room, command the room. And you hope that there's personality there that can galvanize the other 52 players. Listen, and I'll take your thoughts on the Bradford press conference if you saw it today, or if you heard it here on the Fanatic. Jump in at 610-632-0975. Again, 610-632-0975, your impressions. Look, as I first started listening to it, it was, oh, yeah, I remember this guy. He's kind of boring. And he's still boring. And that just, I mean, I'm just being honest with you. That's sort of, I think that's probably the impression a lot of people had today. But here's the thing, and I will say this, and we wonder, really, can he grab the locker room and does he have it within himself to rise to challenges? Is he a self-starter? Does he have that self-starting, competitive, instinctive fire burning within him? Does he have that fire burning within him? And that's, does it worry me? Does it concern me? Yes, it does. Of course it concerns me. Does it bother me a bit? Yes, it does. We don't really know what's there. Okay? And so obviously it's concerning when you sense a lack of command and you wonder how that translates to 52 other guys. And I'm not going to lie. I never lie to you. I mean, does it worry me a bit? Yes, it worries me a bit. Does it make the Eagles a little bit more boring? Frankly, yes, it does. It does. But with that said, I think it is very important to point out that, for instance, just to give you an example, if Tim Duncan just signed a new contract and there was a press conference, Duncan would probably be, frankly, really darn boring. Because the big fundamental ain't exactly a galvanizing public speaker either. He is, though, one of the greatest modern athletes or athletes ever in the history of American sports. Historians would tell you that if Abe Lincoln had to do one of these presidential debates on TV, that he'd look ridiculous. His words might not be ridiculous, but that he would look ridiculous. And Abe would not win in modern times with televised debates a presidential election because he won't win post-debate spin or during the debate, Twitter conversations and comments amongst people all across the nation. Lincoln, obviously, as we know, became our greatest president. Words matter. I'm not going to tell you they don't matter. They matter. Tone matters. Okay? Definitely matters. But it doesn't define everything. And in sports, in many ways, frankly, winning the press conference defines essentially nothing. The 76ers with Andrew Bynum at the National Constitution Center, they won the press conference. They did. They won the press conference. Tremendous press conference. National Constitution Center, Adam Aaron's up there waxing poetic about 250 years ago and the seeds of democracy and 76ers basketball and Andrew Bynum. And then it came time to actually play, and the guy couldn't play. Now, it's a unique situation. The guy was injured. It's, again, it's got its own kind of spot in Philadelphia sports history because he never even took the floor. Words matter, tone matters, but it doesn't define everything. And in sports, oftentimes, frankly, I think it defines very little. Words don't throw football. Tone doesn't help in a two-minute drill. Actions, frankly, clearly speak louder than words. And I'll take your thoughts tonight at 610-632-0975. The reality is this. Sam Bradford's actions on the football field in 2016 and beyond, theoretically, will define his success or his failure in Philadelphia. And I can't be any more crystal clear about this. He's got to want it. He's got to want it. There's no doubt about it. He has got to have a burning desire to be exceptional, to be anywhere within the vicinity of how good we want to see him get. He's got to want it. Do I know if he has that in him? Honestly, I don't. I don't know if he has that in him. Do I have concerns? Of course I have concerns. There are aspects of him that intrigue me. There are aspects of him that concern me. But under no circumstances will I, even if I'm tempted to, and believe me, I'm tempted to, under no circumstances can I bring myself to think that an athlete that presents himself in a press conference in a way that frankly comes off as kind of boring, I can't permit that to let me think that translates to a guy that he isn't good enough. All right? His actions on the field in 2016 will prove, you know, given the, you know, hopefully he's healthy and can play, and we get to find out, and conventional offense and all that stuff. His actions on the field will prove one way or the other what he's got. 610-632-0975. So jump in tonight. I the last couple hours, I know people have talked about that it was a boring press conference and he doesn't grab people and he doesn't galvanize people and people wonder how much command he has and all that. And, you know, there's something about him that it doesn't exude that thing you'd like to see in a quarterback. I mean, it's all true. I'm not going to dispute any of that. But I'm also not going to say it defines everything. We have, and I'll take your thoughts, 610-632-0975. Guys, we have seen very flashy, very big personality figures in the history of Philadelphia sports. And sometimes it works. And it can be a tremendous thing. Pete Rose had unbelievable personality. I wouldn't call Pete Rose flamboyant, obviously, but I'd certainly say there was a lot of personality to Pete Rose. Bernie Parent had a lot of personality. Charles Barkley had a lot of personality. Allen Iverson, Jeremy Roenick, and keep going down the line here. Ricky Waters, Terrell Owens, a lot of personality. And in a lot of instances, it worked. But we've also seen guys with flashy personalities not work, and where at times it gets in the way. T.O., personality, whatever it is that defines whoever the heck that guy really is, it became a problem in year two. It became a problem. And I don't know. Have we had guys in the history of Philadelphia sports that have been more on the boring side and ultimately became great? I'm not sure. I mean, I guess Carlton, right? I mean, yeah, Carlton has to be an example. Now, what was he really like in private? I guess to a large extent, we'll never know. Guy didn't speak. I know Dutch, you know, likes Carlton a lot. Dutch and Carlton spend time together, and they see each other at Philly's events, and Dutch would tell me Carlton's a cool dude. Now, we didn't say it. We don't know it. what mattered is that Steve Carlton had one of the greatest change-ups in the history of baseball, was one of the great pitchers in the history of baseball, won 4 Cy Young Awards, and helped the Phillies win a World Series. That's what matters. So let's see. I mean, let's see what Bradford's got on the field. Bobby Jones, he was more of a boring guy. Chad Lewis, he was more of a boring guy. Now, I think Chad Lewis had a certain degree of command that we respected. I think Bobby Jones had a certain degree of, he had it together. You know, there was no fooling around that we respected. I think in many ways we're still kind of trying to figure out what Sam Bradford is. There's no doubt it's still kind of an open book. And there's no doubt that there's elements of Bradford that, that concerns people. But let's see what he's got on the field in 2016. Let's see with a normal offense, with an offseason where he's not rehabbing from an injury. Let's see if this guy can become what, you know, we all hope he'll be on the field. And frankly, the reality is that Bradford is the quarterback of the Eagles. And when you're the starting quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles, you have both an internal and external extra level of responsibility. Internally, he's got to lead 52 guys. And his personality has to be galvanizing enough, even if it's not to us publicly, galvanizing enough to rally 52 guys through action, through battle on Sunday. You know, they're not just running plays out there. They're dealing with circumstances that are difficult, frustration, aggravation, coaching mistakes, pointing things out to coaches, what they can do differently, rallying the troops, dealing with a lot of stuff. Hopefully he can be a leader of 52 other guys. I can't tell you he can or can't. I don't know. Press conference doesn't define it. And then obviously the other thing he's got to deal with is the external. He's the face of the Eagles franchise to the public. And with that comes a lot of scrutiny and an incredible amount oftentimes of criticism. Sometimes deserved, sometimes undeserved. Donovan McNabb's a classic example of a guy that got an unbelievable amount of criticism. And a whole heck of a lot of it was deserved. And a whole heck of a lot of it was undeserved. And so Bradford's got to deal with that. I would say this, on the basis of how I saw him deal with it last year, generally speaking, I thought he did pretty well. Because his game improved as the season went on, even in the midst of what was obviously a lot of adversity and a lot of criticism right out of the gate. Atlanta game, criticism, 0-1. Dallas game, criticism, 0-2. It's about the fire you have within you. You know, Ricky Wooters to me is a classic example of a guy that fought through it and had a heck of a career in Philadelphia. Now, it was a short career. He already had his run in San Fran. It was only a 3-year contract. But for the first 2 years of that career, when he was in his prime, that guy delivered, man. That guy was the best player on the football team. But you couldn't have had a worse start to a career in Philadelphia. I mean, I don't think there's a player in the history of sports that had a worse debut than Ricky Wooters in 1995 in the game versus Tampa. For who, for what? Not like 99.9999% of the populace was on his case. 1,000,000% of the populace. 100% of the populace was on that guy's case. And look, I mean, he sucked it up. He obviously internally was, I'm sure, a handful for the Eagles to deal with. But when it came time to play ball on Sunday, that guy played football. We need Sam Bradford to have fire in the game, on the field, in the locker room with the guys. You don't win it by winning the press conference on March the 3rd, 2016. Does it concern me? Yes. I'm not going to say it doesn't. But actions will ultimately speak a lot louder than words, and we'll find out in 2015 what the guys got. Or 2016 what the guys got. Let's go to the phone, 610-632-0975. Joe DeCamera here with you. We've got Flyers hockey coming up at 7 versus the Oilers, and your phone calls now, 610-632-0975. Let's go to Tyler in Fort Dix. Tyler, what's going on, man? You're on the Fanatic.
What's up, John? How are you, buddy?
Tyler, what's up, dude?
I haven't talked to you in a while, man. Hey, so you know who has a lot of personality and a lot of charisma and talks a lot? Johnny Manziel.
That's a good point.
Johnny Manziel has a lot of personality. And how's that working out for him and his team?
Great point.
I don't care if my quarterback can stand up there and make me laugh and crack jokes and hold a great press conference. I don't care about that. What I care about and what the fans should care about is if, like you said, if he can bring it to the field on Sunday.
Yep.
I want to take it back a little bit to the beginning of the season last year with a lot of those passes that he made that were dropped by his receivers.
Absolutely.
His wide receiver core failed to make the plays. The passes were on point. The wide receiver core failed to do their end of the job.
Yeah. Let's not though excuse the fact that Bradford was by any measurable standard not particularly good last year.
No, he definitely wasn't. I'm not saying that he was good, but I am saying that, like you already said, it was a rehabilitation year. He came back from rehab. Let's give him a little bit of time to show us now what he can do before we make throw him off the plank and say he's going to be a wash. I wouldn't be surprised if he has a career year this year. And a new, less restrictive system, and come out here ready to prove that he can play. He couldn't prove.
20975, Joe DeCamera from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. We go to Stan in Drexel Hill. Stan, you're on the Fanatic.
Yo, Joe, always a pleasure, my man.
What's up, Stan?
Hey, I was at the knockout game last night.
I didn't see you, man.
Oh, yeah, I was there, man. I knocked out Mosher.
Good for you. That was fun. How far did you get?
Oh man, I made my first fight. Like I hurt my knee playing ball last week, so I have a brace on my knee.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't go after my own rebound. So I was basically just trying to Steph Curry the free throw line, you know. And I made my first four, and then I missed my last one, and it knocked me out. So it is what it is. But I had a lot of fun. It was really great.
It's a great
event. Exactly, man. I can sit there and say that I am at least a 79% free throw shooter on an NBA court. You know what I mean?
Good for you, man.
That's great.
Yeah.
The Bradford thing, man, I've been telling you, I'm very neutral with it. It's cool. They brought him back because, I mean, at this time, he's the best thing that they have. So I actually don't mind it. It's still friendly to the Eagles. And going forward, if he does prove himself again, let's say he does have a career year. You know what I mean? And let's say he does break out and this guy has, you know, an incredible season, you know, maybe even a Pro Bowl caliber season. You know, it's like those are the things that I think could happen because he did come on strong towards the end. And like the other caller said, he had receivers dropping balls. Now, don't get me wrong, he did make a lot of mistakes that I felt were unnecessary, but I'm hoping that those were just growing pains, you know, and playing in the system that he was. So going forward, him being, you know, kind of just internal or whatever you want to call it, I don't really have a problem with it, only because, you know, you look at a guy, and I don't really, don't get me wrong, I don't really want this guy, but, you know, you look at Tony Romo. Here's a guy who, you know, is a gunslinger, makes it happen all the time. And it's like, you don't see him getting in his receiver's face.
But Stan, he's a way better player than Tony.
No, of course. I'm just saying personality-wise, you don't necessarily need to be. Like, Tom Brady's the guy who will grab
Yeah, he does. You're right.
And do that. And I don't know if Bradford has that in him. I don't know if he does it in the locker room. You know, would I like to see him get at, you know, Aguilar for dropping a ball? Yeah, I would love to see it on the sideline telling him, you can't be dropping these passes.
Right.
But at the same time, if he's doing it behind closed doors and then comes the second half, he's making plays, you can't argue.
That's what matters. Instead, I'll give it, I appreciate the call. To go back to the Tim Duncan analogy, Duncan's great because he's a tremendous player. He's a phenomenal talent and all that. He was an amazing defensive big man and he could score and fundamental and all that. But part of what made Duncan special was that he set a tone within that organization of working. And he set a tone within that organization of listening to Greg Popovich and not being an ego. So there were times where even, you know, Popovich would have Duncan on the bench in the fourth quarter of a game. They might be coming back, and he'd leave Duncan on the bench sometimes because the guys that were on the court were making a rally, and Duncan didn't cause an issue because he didn't get back in the basketball game. He was willing to fall in line with Greg Popovich's approach. Now, he trusted a coach that was a great coach. He's an all-time coach. I guess my point is Duncan set a tone. And listen, don't get me wrong. I understand a Bradford-Duncan comparison is ridiculous. All I'm saying is this. That personality that you see publicly, press conference-wise, does not mean what the guy brings to the table as a leader. And I'm not telling you Bradford is a leader. And I'm not telling you I believe in Bradford. Really, the 52 guys in that locker room would be the ones to know. The coaching staff would have a sense of that from what they see. But, you know, winning or losing a press conference doesn't define that. Aaron in Upper Darby. Aaron, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to, just like what you just said, you know, I agree with you about Bradford being the leader. I believe that the best way to lead is by example. And one key thing that Bradford has that I think no one is really speaking about, and he shows he's mentally tough. That's the one key thing that this a lot of our players are lacking, like drop passes and the missed blocks. They have mental toughness, and I think that,
I agree with you.
You know, he can't be verbally, he can't get on anyone's case as the quote-unquote leader when a franchise is not sold on him. That's what's hindering him, and he can't fake that. All he can do is be sincere, and I think that he is sincere. I'm not thinking that he's, you know, automatically going to be a Pro Bowler right away. But I do believe that he'll be, you know, really productive. I'm happy that we signed him. And I if you compare him against some of the young players, young other quarterbacks, like one comes to mind, like Andrew Luck. Of course, I would rather have Andrew Luck, but I don't think it's a doubt that he'll outplay Andrew Luck this year.
Hold on a second, Aaron. I think you're on an island by yourself with that one, man. I would slow that one down. Let's go to Eric in Reading. Eric, you're on the Fanatic.
How you doing?
Eric, what's up, man?
I heard some positive things. I heard him talk about, you know, coming into not being able to participate in training camp with his injury, and no quarterback wants to do that, but he didn't make any excuses. I also heard him talk about how he was going to condition and all those kinds of things, and talking about Zach Ertz coming out and Jordan Matthews coming out to play with him. I also heard at the end of the season that a lot of Eagles lobbied for him to come back. So I don't know where this lack of leadership stuff comes from. I think he was a leader at the end of the season, and I think you're only going to see more of that as time goes on.
I hope so. I mean, you know, the words publicly players say, I don't put a ton of stock in that oftentimes because they're asked questions and I don't expect them to say anything otherwise. But, you know, he got some nice congratulations from players on Twitter, which is a good sign that they actually care about him and want him back. So, I tend to agree with you. All right, Eric, appreciate the call. We go to Steve on a cell phone. Steve, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
What's up, Steve?
I would say congratulations. Your monologue was one of my favorites I've heard in a long time.
Well, thanks.
One of my frustrations about being a sort of longtime, lifelong Philadelphia fan is sort of, I feel that people's initial reactions to players really color sort of what they think about them throughout the course of their career and, you know, even beyond. And I think two examples, one would be sort of the Buddy Ryan, sort of classic Buddy Ryan.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. And people, Buddy's, go ahead.
Yeah, people like love that guy. And you talk, especially, you know, I'm 32, my father's generation, you know, they you can't tell them a bad word about Buddy Ryan. And the guy has won as many playoff games as Sam Bradford has. So, like, you know, that to me, that's always been a sticking point. And then just to think of another player who I think would struggle in Philadelphia based off of his personality, not based off how good he is, but Eli Manning is someone who I look at and, you know, how he pouts after he makes a mistake. Mm-hmm. And he's not the most charismatic guy in the press conference, but I'll tell you what, I'd love to have him on my team, but I think he would get eaten alive here in Philadelphia.
Interesting phone call, Steve. You know, I'll tell you, I appreciate it, man. The Buddy one in particular is a great analogy because, you know, I'm one of those guys that I absolutely love Buddy, and I'm exactly what that caller's describing, exactly what he's describing. Buddy, and I've said it, you know, probably hundreds of times here on the show, Buddy's my favorite Philadelphia sports figure of all time. I mean, of all time. And I got a lot of favorites, you know, from Doc to Barkley to AI to, you know, you go up and down the list to Randall and, you know, I keep going here. Lenny and Seth Joyner and right on down the line. Buddy's my favorite of all time. But the caller's right. I mean, he didn't win. He didn't win. And he had unbelievable talent and he didn't win. So, yes, the impression that we have can stay. Now, Chip was riding high. Chip was I don't know if he was owning the town, but he had a strong hold on the town just 12 months ago, and it was crash and burn in 15 games.
And so things can change. But the caller's right. Sometimes that impression can be very significant. All right, 610-632-0975. Get in. We'll get you on tonight talking about Bradford, the personality, and sort of the role of personality in Philadelphia sports and how we see it all. 610-632-0975. Hey, guys, are you or perhaps someone you know affected by problem teeth? Joe DeCamera here, and I want to tell you about my dental care physicians who I've been going to for years, PI Dental Center in Fort Washington. Dr. Balshi, Dr. Wolfinger at PI Dental Center, absolute best in the business, not only taking care of me and my family for simple procedures for a while, but board-certified prosthodontists who have pioneered dental implant treatment and have changed the lives of thousands of people with cosmetic dental improvements. These guys are absolutely the real deal. Can't recommend them more highly enough to you. You got to go to them if you're having any kind of issues. Patients travel across the country to have the PI team correct their so-called unsolvable dental problems. Prosthodontists, they go there frequently for educational training. But they're right here in our backyard in Fort Washington. You don't need to go across the country, right here in Fort Washington. If you or someone you know has been embarrassed by their teeth, time for a change. PI Dental Center with the best staff, incredibly helpful. They'll go over everything with you, including financial options. Give them a call, 215-646-6334. Set up a consultation. Get yourself in there. You'll be amazed at how good they are, and they can get you pointed in the right direction. PI Dental Center. Again, write the number down, 215-646-6334. Back with all the calls. Joe DeCamera on the Fanatic.
Home, home on the range, with a deer and the antelope play.
An Australian doing an American classic doesn't sound quite right, especially when it comes to beef on a classic American hamburger. Yet some fast food joints use frozen beef from as far away as Australia.
G'day, mate.
But Wendy's believes the juiciest hamburgers are made with fresh, never frozen beef raised in North America. Of course, Australia is good for many things. Lovely people, great barrier reefs, just not the beef on a deliciously different Dave's Double. 100% fresh North American beef available in contiguous United States and Canada.
A lot of work goes into bringing you Wendy's premium cod sandwich. We had to get in a boat like this, head up to the North Pacific in weather like this, so we could catch this. Oh, sorry. I'm holding up a picture of a wild-caught North Pacific cod. Then we gave it a panko breading for a crunch that sounds like this, which will make you sound like this.
Delicious!
But hurry, it's only available for a limited time.
Limited time? I gotta get on this.
The deliciously light, crisp, and crunchy North Pacific cod sandwich, only from Wendy's. At participating Wendy's for a limited time.
Partnerships can be a wonderful thing, but sometimes good partnerships go bad. When that happens, people together achieve less than they could alone, or so they believe. Marriage is like that, but it's also much more than that. On the one hand, marriage is by far the most important partnership anyone will ever join. Everything people own or care about, even kids, become a sort of partnership property. On the other hand, marriage is also a lifetime commitment, for better or for worse. That makes marriage a unique partnership. Personal success is less important than partnership success. Unfortunately, the marital partnership is a fragile one. Only one partner's vote is necessary to destroy it. Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of Cordell & Cordell. Our firm represents men whose partners have cast that vote.
By the way, unless you're in Missouri or Illinois, I'm not licensed in your state, but that's okay. Our attorneys in your state are.
Contact Cordell & Cordell online at CordellCordell.com. Offices in Philadelphia, Radnor, Bluebell, and Exton, Pennsylvania, and Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Michelle Ferrari, licensed in New Jersey and Pennsylvania.
I was a freshman. I was naive to the world. I'm looking forward to trying to make an impact.
Engineering major Tori talks about his leadership moment at Widener University.
I had the opportunity of traveling to St. Louis, where thousands of students globally came together to discuss innovation, ideas, the whole changing the world concept. That was my leadership moment.
With nationally recognized leadership programs, Widener molds students into exceptional leaders, like biomed major Cassidy.
My professor said, I want you to lead our next research project. That was a big confidence booster for me that I really needed. That was my leadership moment.
Through academic excellence, civic engagement, and experiential learning, Widener leadership turns knowledge into action, just as it did for accounting major Emily.
When I became the president of the Productivities Council, we really listened to what the students wanted and worked to make them happy. That was my leadership moment.
At Widener, anyone can be a leader. So, what will your leadership moment be? To learn more or apply online, visit widener.edu. Widener Leadership works.
With spring and golf season around the corner, Myrtle Beach Golf Holiday wants to send you and a guest to the ESPN Myrtle Beach Invitational. Grand prize includes round-trip airfare for two, 3 nights lodging, and 2 days of golf from May 13th to the 16th. You'll compete with other cities, and the city with the lowest aggregate score will win a return trip to Myrtle Beach, plus other great prizes. Go to the Fanatic contest page for more info and enter to win. Myrtle Beach Golf Holiday, Myrtle Beach, the golf capital of the world.
It's time to start planning your spring golf vacation to the golf capital of the world, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. With over 100 pristine golf courses set along 60 miles of beautiful Carolina coastline, your options are endless for your next golf getaway. Choose from some of the nation's top-ranked layouts designed by legends like Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer. And it's never been easier to get to Myrtle Beach from Philly with direct flights taking off all season long. So start planning your spring golf vacation today by visiting MyrtleBeachGolfHoliday.com. We'll see you soon in the golf capital of the world.
It's Kia Madness at Kia of Westchester and Kia of Coatesville. This week, get up to $6,000 over Kelley Blue Book fair market value for...
Brakes aren't complicated, but they sure are essential. Like spacesuits for astronauts or mustard on hot dogs. So if your brakes act up, head over to AutoZone. We carry a full range of dependable brakes, along with the parts you need to stop with control. With our help, you can always fix your car with confidence. Hoods up, America.
Use your tax refund to stop on a dime with the dependable, smooth stopping power of Duralast brakes. Available only at AutoZone.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Have you tried diets and exercise but are always left feeling hungry? Are you ready to try something new? There is now a clinically proven surgical device option with minimal side effects approved by the FDA, safer than gastric bypass or lap band. Instead of altering or restricting your digestive anatomy, this procedure works by blocking the hunger signals between your stomach and your brain. This allows you to feel full longer, reduce your appetite, eat less, and lose weight to meet your personal health goals. This procedure is completely reversible and adjustable, putting you in control of your hunger. Best of all, your diet is not restricted and you don't have to avoid certain foods or drinks. To see if this unique treatment option is right for you, call 1-888-393-0318 or visit www.blockhunger.com. That's 1-888-393-0318 or blockhunger.com. Don't wait. Call today. This device is for weight loss in adults with a BMI of 35 to 45 with a related health condition. This therapy is a surgical solution and carries some risk. Please talk to your doctor about the full benefits and risks.
Jetta Cameron, 97.5, the Fanatic. Well, we got Flyers hockey tonight at 7 o'clock. Flyers and the Edmonton Oilers this evening on the station. Hey, a couple things here. Maxwell Football Awards coming up Friday of next week down at the Tropicana in Atlantic City. And obviously, as a station, we will be, as we are every year, all over it with all sorts of coverage Friday. Again, this is Friday of next week for the awards. And it should be a great gala festival. It always is. You get the best of the best from pro football and college football. And it's just it really is wonderful. And if you've never been to it, certainly would encourage people to check it out. Tickets do still remain. I'm not sure how many are left. There are some. Last year, I know they went right up to the limit and sold them out. So there are sellouts that happen in years. No idea how many are left, but I would definitely encourage people to get in there and get them. MaxwellFootballClub.org is the website for you to purchase tickets. Again, MaxwellFootballClub.org to purchase tickets to this year's banquet, which is happening, and show, really. They're kind of moving away from the banquet format toward a show format. And it's all happening Friday of next week down in Atlantic City. But a lot of food out there as well. All right, 610-632-0975. Also, Anthony, this Friday broadcasting from the Tropicana down there in AC, the all-new Trop with $50 million in renovations. Visit Tropicana.net for more details. Let's go to the phone, 610-632-0975. Flyers hockey at 7 o'clock tonight and phone calls till then. Talking about the personality of Sam Bradford and personality through the history of Philadelphia sports. You know, the most galvanizing guy is not always the best player. And sometimes the boring guy can be successful. Chase was a pretty darn boring personality. Now, he showed a lot of personality when obviously he was, obviously he'd been drinking. And he showed some personality up there on the mic on October 31st, 2008 with his comment. We all know that. But generally speaking, Chase did not show much personality. And from what you hear, did not have much personality. So, you know, but he was one of the best players in recent Philadelphia sports history. And certainly one of the best Phillies of all time. There are different ways to get it done in life. I'm not saying Sam Bradford's Chase Utley. I'm just saying that let's see what his actions on the field is, because that's ultimately what matters. 610-632-0975. I'll take your reaction. We go to Dennis and Langhorne. Dennis, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, what's up? How are you tonight?
Dennis, what's up, dude?
Hey, I'm not real happy with the signing. I'm just, you know, I know it's short term and it makes sense for this year. But, you know, at the end of the day, I watched every single game last year. And, you know, watching the tape, I'm like, this guy and his pocket awareness in the pocket is not good. I count so many more negatives and positives about him. He's 28 years old. He's had 6 years in the NFL and hasn't had a record over 500 yet. He just keeps getting money for what, Joe? Can you explain that to me? Why does he keep getting money?
Well, for a couple things. There's a sense of hope that he can be better than he's been because of how he entered the league. And I would say specific also to the fact that he has had some factors that have worked against him. And I'm not excusing the fact that he hasn't been above 500. I agree with you. But he has had things such as some major injuries that have worked against him. And your question's a valid one, and I don't have an answer that solves the problem. But, I mean, those are obviously the factors that would lead some, including the Eagles, to say, yeah, I'll take another chance on him.
Yeah, and I understand that, but you really look at it, and this is the time. You got a new head coach, you got a new everything. If they have one bad year and it's new, you're rebuilding, you know, the football team takes chemistry to build. It's not going to happen in 1 year. So, like, you know, for the people that think Sam Bradford's the best, you know, personally, I just, you know, us in Philadelphia have never won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So it's like, I can wait 1 year to go draft a franchise quarterback next year, and you're already overpaying Mark Sanchez. So, like, if I have to deal with Sanchez for a year, it just really irritating, because I know Bradford's not going to last the whole season. You're going to see Sanchez at quarterback by week 8 next year, and then you're going to have to draft the quarterback in next year's draft. And it just doesn't make sense.
Well, it may push back the timeline, Dennis. I appreciate the call. I mean, it very well may, and you might be right. And certainly we've had a lot of phone calls over the last 2 months advocating what you're saying. You know, the flip side, obviously, is that there's no guarantee by any stretch that the Eagles, in the midst of a bad season in 2016, would be able to walk away with a franchise quarterback in 2017. I mean, you know, in 2017 draft, it's so far from a guarantee that it's one of those things where I think the odds weren't good enough to justify, at least in the Eagles' minds and in the minds of many, going that route. It's something to consider. I can't tell you it's not something to consider, and you might not be proven right in time. But, you know, ultimately, there was a risk on that end as well, and the Eagles obviously did not want to take that risk. We go to Mike in New Jersey. Mike, what's going on, man?
No, not much. How you doing, Joe?
Good, Mike.
Good. First time caller here. I'm actually not an Eagles fan, so it's going to be an unbiased discussion here. But okay. I think it's a great, great signing for 2 years. Gives the Eagles a lot of flexibility to address the other issues on the team. But also, looking where they stand in the draft, there's really not someone that stands out at this point that you want to be taking at that spot. So it gives you some time, again, to address the issues and just build the team right there. In terms of his personality, I think the other gentleman, a couple callers before, mentioned Eli Manning. That's a great comparison, but also you can look at someone like Marvin Harrison. I mean, I know he's not a quarterback, but he's not a fiery guy. He's pretty much a quiet guy, but he handled his business on the field, and that's what it comes down to.
He's a great football player. There's no doubt about it. He was a tremendous football player.
I mean, what do you think, Joe? What's a realistic record here for the Eagles this year?
You know what? Let's see, and Mike, I appreciate the call. Let's see where things go with free agency in the draft. Free agency, I think, would certainly help me determine an answer to that more than the draft, because while the draft's more important for the long term, free agency is, I would think, the more important thing just for the first season moving forward. Because you're going to get a more immediate impact from players that are veterans in the league that are able to give you an impact. So, I mean, it's just so way too early to give an answer to that, obviously. My instincts tell me the Eagles are middle of the pack-ish, you know, whatever that means, middle of the pack-ish. I think that they could probably go anywhere from 10-6 to 6-10, you know. So I'm checking off the box 6-10, 7-9, 8-8, 9-7, 10-6. And I'm saying I reserve all five spots and everyone else can have the rest of the field. That would probably be my answer. Let's go to Pete in West Philly. Pete, what's up, man?
What's going on, JoJo?
Yo, Pete.
Listen, man, I love the signing, first of all, just because, you know, it's like low risk, high reward if it pans out. Another thing, Philly just need to relax, man. Like, we've been so spoiled by going to the playoffs every, you know, when Andy, when that whole regime was here, we were spoiled. I kept going to the playoffs, and I think everybody is still trying to recapture that feeling and how we used to feel about being in contention every year. But we gotta be realists. We gotta be realistic with the situation. We gotta understand that we tip out of here. We trying to rebuild. We trying to get things, but they're still trying to stay competitive.
Yep.
One, because the ticket prices ain't dropping, so they still gotta make, you know, have a competitive team. But as far as Bradford goes with the personality, listen, I look at it like this. You remember how smooth Bruce Lee was?
Who?
Like how Bruce Lee.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Remember how smooth Bruce Lee was? But he was a killer when it mattered. That's how I look at Bradford. As long as he go out there and perform to his best ability, then we'll be fine. I'm telling you, we'll be fine. They signed him. Okay, cool, we good. So, you know, everybody just need to relax just a little bit, man. I'm serious.
I hear you, Pete. I hear you. I can tell you're very sincere with this. I hear it.
Yeah, man. Because
I like the Bruce Lee analogy. I was like, I had to reacclimate my mind. But yes, Bruce Lee. That's
Bruce Lee was quiet. You know what I mean? He ain't quiet. Look, he ain't saying nothing. He was a dude in the back making a suit. He ain't really bothering nobody. But then, you know, when they came in the store and wanted to borrow stuff, he turned up. So, you know, just gotta relax. And then one, if I could make one more quick
sure,
point.
Sure, of course.
Right? Sam, as far as Sam Bradford goes, like the contract.
Yep.
It works out for both sides. He wanted to be here. I don't know about, you know, like you said, they're kind of programmed to answer questions a certain kind of way.
Right.
But at the end of the day, he still could have tested free agency if he wanted to. So the fact that he signed here means that he wants to be here, so we need to hop behind him and just give him as much confidence as the city can give him so he can feel like he has the city behind him, and then, you know, he'll go out there and ball out.
Well, I'll tell you what, Pete, if Sam Bradford's listening right now, I'm sure he appreciates your phone call, man. Seriously, I mean, if you're an athlete and you hear a call like that, you probably do. Appreciate it myself, Pete. 610-632-0975. Brian in Doylestown. Brian, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, Joe. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
What's up, Brian?
So yeah, I wanted to chime in a little bit. I mean, you know, I don't really understand this, like, obsession that a lot of these Philly fans have with the athlete's personalities, the coach's personalities. You know, I don't care. Like, that was all the talk about Chip before. I don't care whatsoever about his facial expressions, his personality. What does that mean? That means absolutely nothing.
Well, here's the one spot I'll disagree with you on, though, Brian. Personality can be a big part of leadership abilities. And so I can't tell you, based on what we see publicly, whether the personality of the person definitely does or does not translate to a good leader. But I can tell you that it does give me a framework of an understanding of how it may help or hinder them. Now, what's interesting about Chip is, Chip in some ways I thought had a good public demeanor because I thought he seemed straight up initially. But then I think we all kind of started recognizing more and more that there was a lot of sort of almost phony aspects to him, how many times he would deflect criticism. And once you start recognizing that, you say, boy, that's a problem from our end as fans. Imagine what people inside the building must be thinking. And then you start hearing in year three more and more and more and more and more about how much he was disliked within the building. And you realize that the personality that we publicly see can be a very real factor in explaining things.
When did we hear that? We heard that when he started losing. He made a couple poor personnel decisions, and he had DeMarco Murray essentially go behind his back and quit on him, and he just didn't have the clout to overcome it. Now I doubt that, you know.
I don't think DeMarco quit on him. I don't think that's accurate. I really don't, Brian. I appreciate the call. We got to run for Flyers hockey, but I don't think DeMarco quit. I think DeMarco is a diminished player. I think Chip had him running the wrong way, and obviously I think there was frustration on both sides. But I don't think it's fair to say that DeMarco quit. Flyers hockey, Flyers in Edmonton coming up at 7 o'clock. Pre-game show's next, the game at 7. Every game the rest of the way matters for the Flyers. There's no doubt about that. Hopefully they make the playoffs. We'll see if they can make the push. I'll be back around 10 o'clock or so after the game. Thanks to Devon producing tonight's show. Talk to you after the game in the range of about 10 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.